This is the Schnauzer Logic Radio Company.
And this is Schnauzer Logic, the podcast, episode number 16. Sweet 16, being recorded on Wednesday, May the 17th, 2006.
Groundbreaking, critically acclaimed, smash hits, HBO original series. And now, the HBO original series.
Schnauzer Logic.
All right, now here's the deal. I can't find the joke, and so these guys said to me that I should just tell it from memory. So we may bail out in the middle of it, but I'm going to go for it. A lawyer is pulled over by a police officer for rolling through a stop sign. The cop comes over and says to the lawyer, did you know that you slowed down and you didn't stop? And the lawyer says, if you can prove to me the difference between slowing down and stopping, then I'll take the ticket from you. And the police officer says, okay, step out of the car. And the lawyer steps out of the car, and the police officer takes his baton, and he starts beating the shit out of the lawyer. And he says to the lawyer, now, do you want me to slow down, or do you want me to stop?
Clinton, liberals, dittos!
I'm Dr. Mora, and I'm my poodle's mother.
Today on All Things Considered to Death, Moss.
Yeah, baby, show me your...
Sonavista, my friends. Sonavista, and welcome. You have managed to tune in, latch on, and otherwise download that stream of audio known around the world as Schnauzer Logic. Yes, this is Schnauzer Logic, the podcast being recorded on Wednesday, May the 17th, 2006. My name is Robin Goldstein. I'm your host. I'm your buddy. I'm your pal. I'm also a straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning, and I am thrilled and delighted that you're going to join us for one more episode of Schnauzer Logic. We've got a great show for today, guaranteed, or your money back. What do we got going on? Well, we're going to be playing another round of Win John DeCoven's Money with John DeCoven and a special guest player. We're going to give Parvis a break today, and we're going to be playing with Todd Westerlund, who is a member of the Membership Development Council of the San Ramon Chamber of Commerce. Hold your applause until we've announced all of the episodes, all of the elements today. We've also, we'll be visiting with Jason Nathanson, who is on the road. Last time we spoke with Jason, he was outside of Seattle, I believe, and today he is outside. You're looking at your watch?
Well, no, today's the 17th. He's in Vegas.
He may be in Vegas.
Yeah, I was looking at the date.
Okay.
I know we just got started. Looks bad.
It's like I gotta go. I'm over par. There's a meter, dude. There's no meters. No, really. There's a meter. I mean, there's a gas meter. I'm gonna have to be home. Let the guy in to check it. No, he was in Salt Lake City,
so he should be in Vegas.
He should be somewhere between Salt Lake City and Vegas. So we'll be talking to Jason Nathanson, and we've got another episode of Road Stories with Brian Cox. And, of course, we have you. Let's say Sonavista to Parvis Vitali.
Sonavista, Robin.
How are you?
Very good.
You're looking good?
Oh, thanks.
You're looking happy?
Thank you.
And let's say Sonavista to our good friend Sean Meehan.
Oh, Sonavista all.
You're looking good?
And I feel good.
You're looking happy?
And I guess.
What's going on? That was a weird answer. What do you mean, thank you?
Well, thank you. I don't... Everybody says I look mean now with my new do. Everybody says you look mean.
Really?
So for you to say I look happy is...
See, he's sans do, really, is the look. He's shaved.
Sean and I look very much alike.
Yes, we could be brothers.
Yeah.
He's my Persian brother.
Yeah. Yeah, twin brothers of different mothers, I think, is what you're talking about here. Well, we have... you excited about today's show?
Incredibly excited about today's show. You know, one of the things that I'm really excited about was we got a positive review from somebody else's podcast.
We did.
And it was a pretty good review.
Incestuous, but we'll take it. We'll take it as it can go along. Yeah.
I was pleased. And do you recall the name of the woman who gave us the good review?
Her Nancy. Name is Susan. Is it Susan Vincent?
I said Nancy.
Okay. Susan, Nancy, Vincent.
Yes.
One of these three name people. It's the Talking Tran... Not the... Just TalkingTranny.com, I think, is the website. It's a transgender voice blog, I guess.
And it was interesting. She obviously does something that clearly we don't do here, which is deal directly with a lot of trans issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things... The review is wonderful. Thank you very much. I hope you keep listening. I hope you enjoy our show regularly. But one of the things I found interesting was her confusion about you. Now, she understood that what we do here is essentially kind of like a morning show.
Absolutely.
You know, a pop culture, you know, round robin-y kind of thing with a lot of sound and a lot of energy.
And speaking of which, let's do our little morning thing right now and say...
Are there people who there we are need people? To introduce?
Ding, ding, I need the cowbell. Ding, ding, ding. I need more cowbell. We got Kipadada. Michael Swirling. Dick Cheney. His friend Harry Whittington. More Dick Cheney. More Harry Whittington.
Stroke or unload.
More Kipadada. It's full circle of life. I don't know. But she did. You were absolutely right. She said it was like a morning show, and that was, I consider that to be high praise.
I did. I did as well. That's what we're shooting for. We want that sense of fun and mm-hmm. lightness and yep. and professionalism that comes with a good morning show, because right. it's hard to do.
Is there a good morning show?
Yes, this. Okay. Schnauzer Logic.
It's Good Morning America?
Well, no, like Kathy Lee and those numbnuts, and I mean, are there really good morning shows out there?
Well, I think she means radio, talk radio, like the morning show, like the morning zoo kind of thing. Yeah, but, you okay. know, you've got Biff and Shelly, and, you know, hi, Biff, how are you? Oh, look, this is really great, Shelly. And I actually had the voices backwards, didn't I? I fucked them up. Which is what she was talking about.
Which gets us back to this. It is the circle of life, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, indeed.
The thing that confused her, though, was your status and how we perceived you. She made remarks like, well, they don't talk a lot about transgendered issues. They rarely talk about it, and that's true. We rarely talk about it. We don't shy away from it.
No.
But...
Penis. Sorry. You have to stick that in somewhere.
Ooh. I'm shy.
All right. I'll give you... Let's
hear it.
All right.
Yeah. Well, once again, we've hit a cul-de-sac.
That's the wrong one.
What?
Okay, there you
Excellent.
Go.
Excellent. We're back on track. Ooh.
Okay. That's morning show.
One of these days, Whittington's going to learn to duck. One of the things that I found interesting was her confusion at your status, what your status as a trans person might be,
mm-hmm.
and how eclectic that seemed to be. And what I thought was interesting was she remarked that we sometimes use inappropriate pronouns to describe you. And I just wanted to say that's...
I don't think she didn't say inappropriate.
Well, she said male and yes.
She said
yes.
He.
He.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so we use confusing pronouns. One of the things that I want everyone to understand is we use these pronouns out of force of habit. Because I first met you right after you retransitioned.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew Robin for years.
I hear something. Like, is it you?
I haven't said a word.
It was Darth Vader.
I hear, I hear like this rhythmic kind of...
Like what, crickets?
No, no.
That's the audience.
Yeah. I didn't mean to cut you off, but are you okay? You need some breathe right?
Wait, why is it me?
You need some breathe right strips? Oh, just all right. Are you a little congested today?
No, I'm fine. I just listened.
But so intensely that you were really comfortable. It's like when a cat, you were almost purring.
I was, huh? I was just...
All I'm right. sorry, I didn't mean
oh,
to
Oh, no, that's
you.
Okay. I was kind of fascinated by it, too.
You could hear it.
I could hear it. I just...
I'm thinking, is this me? I'm like one. I'm holding one nostril than the other. Is it sharper like this or like this? A or B? One or two?
Okay. I thought I heard it again.
Anyhow, I apologize.
No, it's quite all right. One of the things that both Parviz and I met you prior to the transition.
Absolutely.
And so, and knew you for some time prior to the transition.
5, 6, 7 years.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So it was, I'm still getting used to this. I'm still getting used to the whole, you know, correcting pronouns and things.
Yeah, which I don't really give a shit about. And it's more confusing because when we're sitting here in the studio on the mic, this is the voice that I use.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? This is a radio voice. And so that's more confusing.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. It's a radio voice, right? And she was confused. She made a comment about the fact that when I had done Nancy Nangiarone's show, right, and called in and it was not doing radio but basically was being interviewed, I used a different voice, a voice that seemed more appropriate. And so she remarked about that too, which is interesting. I don't think about it.
Well, one of the things that occurred over the course of the week since I listened to the review,
all right,
was I came across a blog. I think it's on America Blog,
mm-hmm,
from May 10th. It's a blog that deals with Mary Cheney and her continuing vitriolic spew against John Kerry.
Oh, this is the
outing her
vice president's gay daughter.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
This is the vice president's gay daughter. And one of the things the blogger said, I think the blogger is John D.C., the blogger remarked that there are various signs of denial and difficulty when you come to grips with homosexuality. And one of the signs was, I am, you know, I'm gay, but that's not all I am.
Mm-hmm.
And by saying that, the blogger felt that what you're really saying is, I'm still uncomfortable with my status.
Right.
And ergo, I am not going to put a great deal of weight on it. I am going to focus on things in my life that I'm more comfortable with. And I just wanted to tell people that I think you're pretty comfortable. That we do this.
I make a nice living.
Because we really do have other interests.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, certainly, I was fascinated by that remark simply because, as a heterosexual male, I have...
He thinks thou dost protest too much.
Oh, I think, as a very heterosexual male...
He's rubbing his head now.
Yeah. Which one? I deserve that. All right, I'm sorry. Tip your help. It would be silly for me to say that I am all about my male heterosexuality.
Right.
And I find it interesting that there seems to be a sense on the part of some gender and gay activists that this is a phase you are obligatorily almost forced to go through to meet with their satisfaction, that you have to be totally obsessed with your own, you know, gender preference or your own status, your own gender status, to kind of champion it somehow. That's an obligation that most people don't have.
Right. I don't know whether she was saying that it was an obligation.
Mm-hmm.
But rather that's her experience of the gender community, and quite frankly, that's my experience of the gender community. You know, we don't talk about this a lot because it's not current.
It has nothing to do with Tom Cruise.
No, who's dreamy.
isn't he?
But it's not current in my life. I think if we were doing this show 10 years ago when I first went through my own gender dysphoria and therapy and all of that crap, this would be a very important part of my day-to-day existence. We'd be talking about that. But it isn't what's going on right now. So it's not, it's just part of the mix. But the people, what happens, I think, in the gender community, I don't know whether this is true in the gay and lesbian community or not, is when you finally come to the point of acknowledging that you feel some form of gender dysphoria, gender dysmorphism, right? That you feel that somehow your inner gender identity and your outer gender presentation don't match for whatever reason and whatever mixture that means. And then you begin to go through that. You begin to search out other people who can help you, and you go to support groups, and you read websites and magazines, and you listen. Now there's blogs and stuff like that. And so it feels to you that that's what it means to be transgender, because everybody that you're looking at is someone who feels like they're talking about it, because they're all suddenly, it's like the world is full of first graders who have just learned how to ride a bike. And so if every you know, motocross magazine was about your training wheels, because that's what everybody knew about. Because after a while, you stop reading about bicycles and you start riding.
right? That's really what it's like. And so I think at some point you stop talking about gender and you just are. And different people have different success in moving through those phases. And every now and then somebody will catch you up short and they'll bring you back to it again. And you're sort of face to face with the decisions that you've made. But for the most part, I don't deny it because there's nothing to deny. But I also, I'm not interested in going through that process. I figured out something that works for me. And what works for me is a kind of deconstructionist point of view, which is I don't really know what it means to be male or female. I know that if you look at some characteristics in every human being, you can find the same exact characteristic in a member of what we consider to be the opposite sex, whether it's chromosomes or height or... So there is nothing absolute. There is no magic fingerprint that we can take of someone to decide whether they are male or female, because every time you think you know what it is, I'm going to show you somebody who's intersexed and I'm just going to fuck you up big time. Right? So there's always edge cases. So that's not really going to be helpful. But there's always going to be things which match and things which don't match. And so you find a place that works for you. Judith Butler, who teaches or taught at Berkeley, I don't know whether she still does, wrote a book called Gender Trouble, where she talked about this. And I couldn't get through it because it was just boring as shit. But in the preface, which was worth the price of the book, she says, and I paraphrase, because I don't even think that I got what she said right. She says, in talking about gender, an open society will therefore permit the adoption and discarding of identities in accordance with the task at hand. And I thought, that has nothing to do with gender and everything to do with how, as human beings, we should be permitted to live. If you feel that something is appropriate in your personality to whatever it is you're trying to accomplish, then that should be an identity that you're allowed to assume at that point. Gender only being one small element of our entire identity complex. And so that's what I do. That's what I've chosen. The whole straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of recovering transsexual woman patent, all that stuff. That was chosen initially as a joke. It's kind of a put down. It's my way of saying to people that I refuse to be categorized. I used to have a business card that ran off the end of the card. I listed all the things that I did because I was a designer, and I at the point that I was doing graphic design and all of those things. And so I, in very, very small type, I had all of these things that I did, and it ran off the end of the card. And somebody said to me, you know that your card is poorly designed. It ran off the end of the card. And I was like, no, that's on purpose. There's a reason it runs off the end of the card. And that's because you can't fit who I am on a business card. When I moved out to the Silicon Valley 13, 15 years ago, something like that now. I mean, you know, long enough that I feel like I've been here for a 13 while.
13 or 15 years.
Well, I've been here. This is the longest I've lived anywhere without moving. So that's a big deal for me. I wound up going to a bunch of high-tech parties at the beginning of the Tech Museum and the homes of all these VCs that you would know, John Doerr, and all these people, those names that you would know. I mean, big Silicon Valley, Fast Company, you know, Business 2.0, all that kind of crap. And I went to these parties, and people would say, look at me, and they would wait for me to give them a business card. They wouldn't introduce themselves until I gave them a business card, and they would say, and you're with... That kind of, you know, and you do, and I thought, I don't even know how to respond to this. I'm sickened by your presence. I'm sickened that that's how you want to look at the world. And so my card was in response to that. I thought, well, I'm just going to give him a card that wraps around the back. And then, you know, if I had the ability, I would have a card that actually had like a little tail that, you know, you'd have to unfurl. Like a little scroll of all this stuff. I go, wait, I got more. And like I'd reach in my other pocket and pull out like another little bit of scroll and like tape it onto the end of that. Because it's not that I don't think that there's value in having lots of skills and being able to be identified in lots of different ways. It's just that we are not the sum total of these things. Shit, I hope we're far more than that, right? I mean, we talk about what you do as an apprentice plumber.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's not your identity.
No.
He also knows dairy products.
Right. But you know, it's so funny. I get the same confusion when I tell people my name. So it's like, it's the same thing. My name is Parviz. Par.
What?
That's all right. No, they get the same deer in the headlight look, feel.
Oh, okay.
But bottom line, Robin, bottom line, can I tell you something?
Yeah, we need a bottom line.
Funny is funny. Doesn't matter.
There
if
you
I'm
go.
Bald, if she's transgendered, if you look ugly, bottom line, we're all funny.
Wow.
Right?
That was pretty fucking harsh, don't you think?
I'm not saying you're ugly, Sean. I'm just saying...
Just what if? What if?
I'm just saying we look alike. So if he's ugly, I'm ugly. Right?
Wow. Wow.
That's why you have me on for the heavy moments.
We haven't actually started the show yet. I mean, that's the nice thing.
Thanks for the cool review, by the way.
Yeah, thanks for the nice review.
We enjoyed it. And we should live in a society that is flexible enough to allow for us to select appropriate roles and personae and things like that for the task at hand. I think that that's a very, that's a noble goal. And hopefully, by doing what we do, we contribute in some small way to the wealth of Halliburton.
Here, here. And I want you to know that I hate people who are not open-minded. I hate people who are...
Why you look at me?
He's waiting for the laugh.
Somewhere.
Why, because I'm Persian? What does that have to do with anything?
Wow.
Well, I'm just getting a little offensive right now.
Offensive?
Or defensive.
Counter-offensive.
Wow.
I'm just ready to attack something.
I know the
building,
best. I know the best offend is a good defend, but... You want to talk about this here? You want to hug it out, bitch?
No. Whoa!
I mean...
Wow, Robin. I thought you loved me.
I do.
He does. What color are my eyes?
It's tough love.
Red? That's always a safe bet. They're brown, aren't
they? Because you're the devil.
It's brown. They're brown.
Yeah, they're brown.
Yeah, it makes your brown eyes blue.
Oh. Oh. All right.
There's break music. It can save us. If we just grab onto the break music, it can pull us to safety.
All right, we'll play a song. We'll come back. What time is it? Oh, shit. We should think about playing Win John DeCoven's money, I suppose.
Can I just tell
Absolutely.
A joke that I just wrote right before we got on
Knock yourself out.
Okay, but I need a sound effect. I need a Whittington sound effect. Instead of a rim shot, I need Whittington sound effect.
Well, the thing is, we got this background music.
So it doesn't work?
Not really.
Okay, then forget it.
I could stop the background music if you want.
Yes, it's really well worth it.
All right, hold on a second. Wait, hold on.
Okay.
Wait.
See, you've built an extraordinary expectation.
Yeah,
here.
Really.
So I'm ending the
segment on a high note right now.
Okay.
This has got to be incredible.
Yeah, I just wrote this joke, so I want to try it out, but I need the Whittington sound effect. Here we go. Paul McCartney and his wife, what's her name? God, what's her name? Not Stella's a daughter, but what's her name? Anyways, it doesn't matter. Paul McCartney's filing for divorce today, or they're separating from his wife, right? She's getting, according to what I just read, she's getting half of his money, and he's getting her leg. Come on.
I'm trying, dude. Nothing's happening.
It doesn't want to participate.
The other one.
The other one.
The Whittington. And he's getting her leg.
That's not mine.
Why is it when I participate, when I contribute a joke?
Right. Hold on.
And he gets her leg.
I knew how to quit you.
Wait.
Oh, that's shit. Shit.
That's not right. Give it to me one more time.
So she's getting half of Paul McCartney's money, and he's getting her leg.
What?
And his wife. There it is.
Well, I have to say that was definitely worth it.
But we're going to come back we're going to play a game. Win John DeCoven's money. It's worth staying.
All I asked for one simple sound effect. That's it.
I tried.
You went through everything else.
You asked for one simple sound effect. He gave you a dozen simple sound effects. He over-delivered.
You wrote that.
I did.
Are you gonna work?
No, no, I'm not gonna work it anywhere. Okay.
All right. We need to figure out how to get John DeCoven on the phone here. All right. Here's what we'll do: we'll take a break, we'll play some tunes, we'll come back, and we'll play Win John DeCoven's money. I'm sorry. You know I love you.
Oh, I know. I know, but okay, I know.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I swear to God, the way I have multiple soundboards open, so I put the other soundboard on pause. right? And then I thought what I could do is I could go to the second soundboard and then just click on the wood crashing. But nothing happened. When I put the one, first one on pause, it paused. But then the second one, I clicked and nothing happened. So I went back to the first one. Instead of putting it on pause, I actually unlocked it completely. But after I'd hit the wood crashing, I hit the gunshot. And so that must have been in the...
one chamber.
In the, was in, so to speak, in the chamber. Right. All right? That's what happened.
Fair enough.
Is he buying it? All right. Break. Back. Comedy. Schnauzer Logic.
Thanks for the nice review.
It was a nice review.
It was. I said thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Say thank you, Susan.
Nancy, Susan, whatever.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you, Susan.
I want to know why you like to dress up like a girl sometimes.
This is Schnauzer Logic.
August 1995, I wish I listened to the word for the wise. Now my vessel was about to capsize. In August 1995, and still I crossed the ocean blue to get away from the
sleep, sleep, dream of my all-American
100% uninterrupted direct digital feed straight from the pleasure zones of your brain.
All day long.
What the hell is this?
This is Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. We are 31 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Lodge of the podcast. Robin Goldstein, your host, buddy, and pal, www.schnauzerlogic.com, robin@schnauzerlogic.com, Sean Meehan, Son of Easta. Parviz Vitali, Son of Easta. I told you guys before the show we had like an extra 100 new listeners this last week.
That's awesome.
It's amazing. And the website, the blog page, has over 11,000 hits. It was like 1,000 people went to the webpage this week.
It's like McDonald's. It's like one or two people.
But we treat the cows better.
Over 11,000 served. But really, it's just two people. Me and Sean.
Fat people. All right, so...
That's cool. 11,000.
Yeah, very, very cool. So www.schnauzerlogic.com, robin@schnauzerlogic.com, and of course you can go over to myspace.com/schnauzerlogic, and we've got a couple of folks who added themselves to our MySpace account. You guys have MySpace, by the way?
Not an account. Do you need an account?
Every week, I... What do you mean not an... What do you have?
I mean,
you have a t-shirt that says MySpace on it?
No, I just chat with the young ladies.
Okay. You have no idea. You own a computer?
Yes.
All right. I'm just saying. All right. Listen, we haven't done this for...
Robin, you own five. Right.
No, I have more. No, I've got more.
I think there are five in this room.
Yeah. That's true. Absolutely. Just look around, dude. You got one, two, three. There's another one over there. Four. And I can check my pants. Okay, fine. All right, enough of this silliness here. Let's punch down the button and say, Son of Easta to John Dukovin. Are you there, my friend?
Son of Easta, everyone.
Isn't that nice?
It's
John.
Wonderful.
I have a MySpace account.
Do you really?
Yeah, Laugh-A-Lot Productions. MySpace. I'd throw that out.
Is there any dots in there or anything like that?
No, just MySpace/Laugh-A-Lot Productions.
All right. And how many friends do you have?
About 62.
Shit, you got more friends than we do.
Something's wrong.
That's marketing. That's marketing, my friend. Outstanding.
You must be in a really great mood today because you're very high energy, John. People know John Dukovin is a good friend of ours. He's a...
That's not my nose, I swear to God.
Is that me?
No, it could be the NSA. I started to say what you were. It was like... And on the... John, what are you, John? Tell people a little bit about who you are. Reintroduce yourself to new podcast listeners.
To the 11,000 new podcast listeners, I own a company called Laugh-A-Lot Productions, and I produce comedy shows at restaurants, bars, fundraisers, and corporate events.
I own a mansion
and
a yacht.
I'll find them for you.
All right, and you have a webpage?
www.laughalotproductions.com.
And then, of course, we play on a regular basis with you the award-winning game, Win John Dukovin's Money. We have frequently played against Parviz, but we're going to give Parviz a break this week.
By the way, really quickly, have you guys seen the new Ben Stein commercial?
Which one?
You haven't?
No.
This is where he recaps his...
I can't even remember what product it's for, but he's in class, and he's like, Bueller, and they're like, where is he?
Yes.
I don't even know what product it's for.
I have seen it, actually. I've seen it. It's the same... I think it's for...
DirecTV.
Yes.
No, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I think it's for that.
All right. Okay. So, John, tell us who you're playing for today. No, it's like the old 10,000 peanut pyramid here. Who are you playing with today,
well,
John?
Well, I think I'll give you his name, but we're going to have him tell him about himself. Right?
All right.
It's a good friend of mine, Todd Westerlund, and let him say Son of Easta.
Son of Easta, Todd Westerlund.
Son of Easta, how's it going?
Terrific. Let's give you a little fanfare. Hold on.
What happened?
All right.
What?
That's what the 11,000 always ask.
What was that, huh? Todd, I looked at your... John sent me a little bio about you.
You are a
member of the San Ramon Chamber of Commerce.
That would be me, the membership development. I'm just out here doing a little PR work. I don't know what John's got me into, you know, something he said he was going to send around some bios. You know, is it clean?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Very wholesome.
He didn't send you the real one.
No. So, you know, John mentioned that you remember the Chamber of Commerce, and I think we all know that there are things called Chamber of Commerce, but I think unless you're actually a part of it, you really don't know what it is. So what is a Chamber of Commerce? How is it different from government? What do you guys do? What's your charter?
Wow, that's a big question.
Over.
We're here to make all businesses successful. And, you know, let's say in the Tri-Valley, not just in the Santa Ramon area, because there's so much business that's coming here. We're your marketing force, sales force, advertising force, and, you know, most importantly, your networking force.
So let's say that I move into the San Ramon area and I start a new business. Let's say I start a dry cleaning business.
Okay.
Okay. How does the Chamber of Commerce help me? Do I become a member? Do I join? Is it like the mafia? Do I have to pay you guys protection? Forget about it. You know, how does this work?
Let me tell you how it works. So first you're going to come in and you're going to get an application and we're going to sit down in a little room. I'm going to give you a little cup of water, put some hot lights on you. We're going to have a little discussion about what's really going on in the this dry cleaning business.
Well, look at a few frames of the Zapruder film that nobody's ever seen before. All right, that's cool.
Basically, they tell you what politicians you're going to need to pay off to get things done.
I'm waiting for a denial.
No, that's wrong. Wrong. No. And you're going to fill out a application after I tell you all the benefits you're going to get. John, I mean, he was really easy as a member, you know? He gets all sorts of business from the chamber, right?
Yep.
I was waiting for denial there for a second. I was
So I come in and I fill out a form and I become the chamber of a member of the Chamber of Commerce.
Mm-hmm.
How does that then drive business to my new dry cleaner?
Well, one of the ways is that we have a website, www.santaramon.org, and on that website we have all of our members listed, and that way other people in Santa Ramon look towards chamber members to do business with.
All right.
Another way also is through our networking. Like we have a mixer coming up, June 15th at Harley-Davidson. We'll have 150 people there, and that will be a way for you to go there, talk to all sorts of people, tell them about your dry cleaning business, and, you know, get their business cards, follow up with them, start heading them to your place.
It's FaceTime.
All right. Chamber of Commerce, is that sort of a strictly American institution? Do you know where that sort of came from?
Well, you've gone way over my head with that one.
Okay. I'm not trying to... That's not one of the questions on Win John DeCoven's Buddy, by the way, because I know that John doesn't know that one either. You know that one, John?
No.
And John told me that you you do a little bit of stand-up as well.
Oh, no.
Make us laugh.
A little bit is the word.
Make us laugh, funny boy.
Yeah. Say something funny. I'm working on it. I'm going through the workshops. John just had one. It was very beneficial. I think my son actually might think I'm funny now. So, I mean, it's definitely working. So,
did you have a good time? That's the most important thing.
I had a great time.
That's the key.
I didn't know it was going to be filmed, though.
Oh, is that right? Was it filmed?
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, you know, the funny thing is Robin
will understand
this and Parvee. Well, everyone will. Usually, what's the first joke a new comic does?
Oh, no.
I mean, what's their topic usually?
I don't know. Their spouse?
Yeah, well, it's usually a cock or pussy joke.
Okay.
So he got really into it. I mean...
I thought that was some kind of new animal, a cock or pussy. I mean, I know that they've been mixing all kinds of poodles and shit like that, but...
This is just what the president warned us that was going to happen.
A cock or pussy.
Now, what's Parvee doing? He's awfully silent through this whole melee.
Why? I'm just letting you roll the jokes. Laughaloudproductions.com. John, actually, I had a killer joke at the beginning of the podcast that went nowhere, so I've been shattered.
Okay, I'll listen to it later.
With that kind of enthusiasm, please.
Mm. All right, Todd. Well,
let me say one last thing. It's funny you said that because the other day, Helene, my girlfriend, was showing me something. I was like, wow, that's cool. And then she says, wow, you had a lot of intonation in that statement.
Oh, man.
Still like that.
How's that relationship gone there?
Status quo, very good.
Status quo.
That's
a long pause.
Yeah, really. And status quo is not. I don't remember seeing any Valentine's Day cards that say. Status quo.
No,
another status quo.
That's right. From Hallmark, the status quo series.
Where do you go? Where do you go up from perfect? You know.
How just maintaining. Keep it together. Keep it together. Keep it together.
Well, no,
keep it together.
I made the mistake of trying to think of something funny, and then status quo came out. So.
Oh, it's funny.
Another success for Laugh-A-Lot Productions.
Exactly.
All right, Todd, now, has John explained to you how this works?
Not at all.
So this show, this little game we play, Win John DeCoven's Money, is based on the TV game show Win Ben Stein's Money, primarily because Ben Stein and John DeCoven kind of sound alike. The main difference is that Ben Stein actually knew a lot of stuff and tended to win 99% of the time, and John DeCoven is maintaining the status quo, I think, is that's how we can talk about it. So it's basically it's a best of 10 test of knowledge.
Okay.
It isn't timed, although the show only runs for 2 hours, so at some point they shut down the stream, but other than that it's fine. And then whoever gets the most number of questions right walks away. Well, we used to walk away with whatever change John had in his pocket, but now it's really just the honor of being listed on the blog as this week's winner of Win John DeCoven's Money.
Excellent.
Are you excited?
I'm excited.
Have you ever been on Jeopardy or Wheel of Fortune, any of those shows?
Never. Oh, but
this is a big deal.
I think I'll do just fine.
I'm sure you will. All right. So, John had suggested that maybe he would hang up and we could call him back. And John had some kind of incredibly complex structure going on here in order to make sure that he didn't listen to the questions. And so, and what we're going to do is we're just going to tell John not to listen to the questions.
Okay. But you know what you could do, though? I don't know if this is too complicated. If you're your computer, why don't you just send me an email when you're done?
Yeah. Here's what we're going to do, John. You're just not going to listen to the questions. You're going to sort of move away from the phone.
Right, and
you'll
I'll
hear
check what's, in every once in a while.
Every
okay.
once in a while, you'll check in.
All
yeah,
right.
exactly. All right?
Ready?
All right. So,
sounds
yeah. So,
good.
Okay.
Can I have a suggestion?
Absolutely.
Why don't we ask the question and ask them both to answer it? And one will answer it, and the other one could agree or disagree and have the correct answer? Because
that's
Jeopardy.
That's how it was done.
That's right. Jeopardy. It's a different show.
John sounded angry. So in today's show,
John sounded like the banana splits right there. One of those characters.
No, that's not how we planned it. I thought there was admirable intonation, John, once again.
John, you could never play Santa Claus. Everybody would point you out immediately at the mall. You'd be like, what do you want for Christmas?
No, we're going to give all the gifts out to all the little kids at once.
No, that's not the way it does. I have to go down one chimney at a time. One by one by one. Oh, poo, I lost my tail again. Wait, that's a different story.
All right.
Oh, that's great.
Okay,
how are we going to get John back?
Tell me when to stop listening.
You should have known that long ago, John.
All right, stop listening now, John.
Was that on episode one?
All right, here we go.
Okay.
All right, in 3, 2, 1.
Goodbye.
Okay.
All right, here we go. You can hear me okay, Todd, yes?
I can hear you.
All right, great. Question number one. Which state is nicknamed the Pelican State?
Oh, boy. That's great. The Pelican State. I have no idea.
All right. Question number two. Who is the author of the book, The Right Stuff? About the astronauts.
About the astronauts. Yeah. You said have a little bit of time on these?
Yeah, sure.
Right?
Need a lifeline?
What?
You want to ask Parviz to help?
Yeah.
I think it's Clancy.
Is it Clancy?
Yeah. No, that's wrong. Okay,
that's wrong.
Number three. Yeah, but by the way, by lifeline,
Parviz. Can I get a lifeline?
By lifeline, he means anchor.
50, 50,
yeah,
50,
yeah,
50,
that's right. 50. It's like those lifelines they have in the old Bugs Bunny cartoons. That kind of a lifeline. All right, question number three. How many carats are considered pure gold? How many carats in pure gold?
21.
Nope, not right.
Oh.
But close, very close.
Oh.
Which Neil Diamond song was inspired by the movie E.T., the extraterrestrial?
What? we're coming to America?
You don't bring me flowers anymore.
Two good answers.
Absolutely.
Both of them excellent answers. All right, number five. Name the product that has been advertised as a lean, mean, fat grilling machine.
Oh, man. Finally, I got one right. The George Foreman grill.
Excellent.
Man, that feels good. That
there
feels
you go.
Good after this long run.
All right. Number six. Which president portrait appears on the $2 bill?
That's Jefferson.
Excellent. That's two right. Okay, number seven. Which flavor do you get when you combine coffee and chocolate?
Coffee and chocolate. Yeah, you get a mocha.
Excellent. Made them easier this week. John will get different questions altogether. Number eight. Name the metal which is also an element which is naturally blue. It's a metal which is also an element and it's naturally blue.
You know, I'm gonna have to go with alloys.
I'm sorry?
Alloy?
Nope, not that one.
Geez.
Okay. Number nine, Yukon Gold is what kind of vegetable? What kind of vegetable?
Yukon Gold is what kind of vegetable? Broccoli.
Broccoli?
Hmm?
Nope, not broccoli. And we've run out of music, but we'll start it up again here. I'm not... okay, good. Nope, not quite broccoli. And number 10, who was the first person on the cover of the Rolling Stone?
First person on the cover of the Rolling Stones?
Nope, not Rolling Stones. All right.
Oh,
that's
man.
All right. Hey.
Two for ten?
You got three my
Where
friend.
Where are you guys at?
You got three. Oof. Oh, look who's back. It's John DeCoven.
Right on time.
Hey, everybody. It's John DeCoven.
Okay.
Hey, John DeCoven.
What up?
What up?
What's happening?
All right, let me tell you, my friend.
Okay, hold on. Let me turn down Bill O'Reilly. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Todd got 3 out of 10.
Wow.
So we are very likely not going to be looking at any kind of bonus round today. All right?
Okay.
All right. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
You psyched?
I'm totally psyched.
Parviz and Nishan are comparing notes here.
Okay.
What are you guys talking about here?
About the Yukon Gold.
Oh, is that right? It's not a kind of marijuana. That's not the right answer. All right, here we go, Dr. DeCoven. We're going to get to the questions in 3, 2, 1. All right, here we go. Which state is nicknamed the Pelican State?
Fuck, who would know that? Alabama.
I'm guessing everybody who lives there would know that.
Okay.
And maybe John Grisham would know that.
Pennsylvania?
Maybe John Grisham would know that.
Next.
Who is the author of the book The Right Stuff? Please say John Grisham. Please say John Grisham. Please say John Grisham.
John Grisham?
No.
Some chick. I can't remember her name.
Yeah. Tom Wolfe.
Okay.
And the state that's nicknamed the Pelican State is Louisiana.
Okay. Well, don't give them now. We're going to do it at the end.
Okay, Mom. How many carats in pure gold? Pure gold.
Pure? No.
How many? You want a lifeline?
90. Well, I would say 24 carat, but that one makes sense.
Deal?
100?
Or no deal. Is that your final answer?
That's it.
Okay, wrong. It's 24.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Which Neil Diamond song was inspired by the movie E.T., the extraterrestrial?
Neil Diamond. Well, the only one I can remember, which isn't even Neil Armstrong. No, Neil Diamond, right?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Okay, it's Heartlight.
Okay.
Turn on your heartlight.
I was going to say Rhinestone Cowboy, but that's Glenn What's-His-Face. Okay.
Yeah, that's Glenn Close,
right.
I think, saying that. Right, exactly. All right, name the product that's been advertised as a lean, mean, fat grilling machine.
The George Foreman Grill.
Excellent. Oh, we actually may come to a tie. Which president's portrait appears on the $2 bill?
Oh, shit. Is that Jefferson?
Oh, man, that's right. All right. What flavor do you get when you combine coffee and chocolate?
What flavor? Mocha.
You asshole.
Yeah, what kind of crazy son of a bitch.
Yeah, what kind of fucking question are you? Of course, everybody knows it's mocha.
Look, I mean, you're going to ask food questions. Don't mess around.
All right, name the metal which is also an element and which is naturally blue. It's a metal, it's an element, and it's naturally blue.
Metal, it's an element.
Naturally, it works.
Lead?
No, it's not lead, it's cobalt.
Okay.
Yukon gold is what kind of vegetable? Yukon gold, what kind of vegetable?
Oh. It's
John having sex.
Yeah. What question is this? What number?
With Colonel Mustard.
9 in the bedroom.
Yukon gold.
Oh, the rope around
squash?
His
squash?
No, it's not a squash. And shit, we're gonna have a tie, aren't we?
No, ask me number 10.
Number 10. Who was the first person on the cover of the Rolling Stone?
Oh, I should know it. It's just a person, not a band. Or can you tell me that? Over. So you're saying the very first issue?
I'm asking,
not getting any help.
I'm asking for the first person on the first cover of the Rolling Stone.
Can I give him a hint?
No.
I mean, it wasn't Britney Spears. Okay. I was going to say the Beatles, but that's not a person. But I think it's in that genre. Paul McCartney?
No.
Oh.
Unbelievable.
George Harrison?
No.
It was Ringo. No, it's Pete Best. Pete Best was on the front cover. Pete Best in the Wonder Years.
Who was it?
It was John Lennon.
Oh, okay. Well, that was close.
I got it wrong, too.
Fuck.
All right. We got a problem here.
Hey, I'm getting better, man. Last two games, I've had ties.
Yeah, well, you've got a tie here. You both got the George Foreman grill.
Right.
You both got Thomas Jefferson, and you both got Mocha. You should be very proud of your education.
John DeCoven is Todd Westerlund.
Number 9 is potato?
Yes. So Louisiana is the nickname, the Pelican State. Tom Wolfe wrote the right stuff. 24 carats, pure gold, heart light. George Foreman grill, Thomas Jefferson Mocha, cobalt. Cobalt, the metal, cobalt, the color, cobalt, the element.
Yes.
Cobalt, the series coming to NBC this fall.
I had the 24 karat. I was thinking like you're a cheapskate if you buy something that's 24 karat.
That's when you go 12.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, or 8.
Oh, man.
Or that little 6 karat gold.
Okay, so how are we breaking girlfriend? The tie here?
We're going to have a tiebreaker. The first person to shout out the right answer will be the winner of the game.
All right.
Hold on now.
And 3. So you both listen to the question. We'll start the music here.
Okay.
In 3, 2, 1. The comic strip Doonesbury is written by what cartoonist?
No clue.
Next. Doonesbury?
Oh, wait. It's the guy. No, that's not the guy from Stacey's, is it?
No. That's Dilbert.
Okay.
Gilbert.
That's Gilbert.
No, that's Scott. Okay, let's go. Next.
No, it doesn't. All right, wait a second. Hold on a second here. Hold on. All right, when I was getting washed this morning, it occurred to me that you two nuclear scientists might actually get to a point where not only did you have a tie, I was thinking 0-0 tie, but all right, like even I can be wrong, but you would have a tie and wouldn't get the tiebreaker question, which I'm now guessing should have been Mocha. That should have been the tie. That should have been tiebreaker.
Right.
So here's the deal. I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 1 and 10.
No, let me give him the question.
No,
I have a question.
No,
just
you
one more. All right,
this
all
is
right,
very...
Hold on. I'm going to stop the music. All right, hold on.
John wins.
Okay, ready, you guys?
Yeah.
Ready? Here we go. What's the name of Paul McCartney's wife that he's divorcing today?
Hillary,
what do you say? The other one.
I would agree. Hillary. Agree. You should agree. Just agree.
Hillary?
Agree, yeah.
Yeah, agree.
Okay, wrong. I ran out of questions. It's Heather Mills.
Oh, I got the H.
You did get the H. That's correct.
Okay, how does this help us?
All right, I got another question.
Okay.
What's the price of unleaded gas right now?
Well, that's a lame question.
Oh, is that right? Ooh, I'm out of line.
$3.29.
No.
Oh, $3.12.
Nope, it's $3.41.
Ooh. Oh, shit, I had it right here on my webpage, too, Heather Mills.
Well.
How about if I ask?
Parvis, do you have any idea how this game is played? All right, here we go.
Okay, one more.
I got it.
Playing.
Here's a tiebreaker question, all right?
Okay, first guy to question. Answer. This is it.
Here you go. This first person to answer the question. Who is the author of the book, The Right Stuff?
Tom Wolfe.
Who said that?
Ding, 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 ding.
You got it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. My goodness.
Oh, man.
My heart
the tension was excruciating.
I wanted to give you a run for your money there. I was really close. 3-3.
Nice job, Todd.
All right.
Todd, you pulled through.
You did, man. You pulled it out. That was outstanding.
You know, I'm going to wake up in a cold sweat tonight about the 24-karat gold thing.
You fuck that up, too?
Oh, man, I massacred that at 21. What is that?
Okay, guys, which state was nicknamed the Pelican State?
Louisiana.
All right. How many carats in pure gold?
24.
Neil Diamond's song inspired by E.T.?
Heartlight.
The metal, which is an element that's naturally blue?
Cobalt.
Yukon gold is what kind of vegetable?
Wait, you didn't tell us that.
Oh, you didn't give us the answer.
You didn't give us the answer to that.
Potato.
Very nice.
Potato.
And the first person on the cover of the Rolling Stone was John Lennon. He was in a film, How I Won the War, and it was a publicity shot that they had. By the way, the comic strip Doonesbury is written by Gary Trudeau.
Ah, that's right.
Who is a cousin of the former Prime Minister
of Canada.
Canada, Pierre Trudeau.
Right.
Okay.
And who's married to Jane Pauley.
Oh. Wow.
I remember when that happened, and everyone thought, wow, why would someone as hip as Gary Trudeau marry Jane Pauley?
Who once interviewed Tom Cruise, who was in a movie with Kevin Bacon.
There you go.
Why is Paul McCartney getting a divorce?
Because he ran out of one-leg jokes.
Exactly.
Wow.
He's ruthless today.
Wow. I'm just saying, he used to always tell her, hop in bed. You know, hop into bed.
Wow.
Yeah, and she used to, you know what her favorite restaurant was?
No.
IHOP.
Oh.
That's funny.
Yeah. Nobody knew these are trivia questions.
We're 15 minutes into the first hour of Schnauzer Logic, the podcast, and that was actually...
And do you know what Heather Mills' favorite holiday is?
No.
Easter. Hopping Easter.
I thought you would say leap year.
That's a good, you see? That's what I'm talking about.
See, when great minds are alone, they do great work. But when they come together in this kind of gestalt, it's extraordinary.
Todd, you're a good sport. Thanks so very much. So people can find out about the San Ramon Chamber of Commerce by going to?
www.sanramon.org.
Outstanding. And John, people can find out about your mood by going to? Bueller.
LaughALotProductions.com. Actually, let's play a little contest and see how many people either A, listen to you in the Tri-Valley or care about getting tickets to a show.
Oh.
Ooh.
So we got a giveaway?
If anybody sends an email to info@LaughALotProductions.com, pair of tickets to any show.
I just sent one.
Jeez, I'd love to get tickets to see Cats. Can you put that together for me?
Any Laugh A Lot Productions produce.
Oh, fuck, I don't care about that.
Oh, well, you should.
Can you get me in to see the taping of the last episode of Will and Grace?
No.
Okay.
No, it's got to be...
That's a Laugh Very Little
Let's
production.
Let's just see who the hell lives out here that wants to go see... Hey, Todd will tell you, they're great shows.
Oh, they're excellent.
And you got some exciting news. You're probably not willing to talk about it yet, right? But maybe your comedy shows may be expanding, you were telling me.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a month or so.
All right.
We'll see what's going on.
John is moving up in the world of big-time, big-deal comedy.
Yeah.
He's getting together. Amazing. He's getting together with Kip Adada.
You know, Parvis got into plumbing.
I didn't get into plumbing. Plumbing got into me.
Oh, I
get it. I don't understand.
I'm just saying the poop runs downhill.
Now, Parvis, I just gotta say one thing before I leave, and I don't think anybody else is gonna think it's funny. But when you guys were doing that James Blunt thing, I'd just seen him the night before with my girlfriend, and then Robin plays a song to you, and then you said,
"Okay, they're gone."
Oh, what did he say?
We lost him.
They're gone?
Yeah, I think they're gone. Let's see. Hold on.
Hello?
Oh, they're gone. I'm sorry.
Is it the NSA?
Yeah.
Did they strike again?
I think so.
Are you cutting them off because they're Mexican?
I didn't cut them off. But now that we've run out of music here.
He was doing a callback from 15 shows ago.
I feel terrible. We should get him back on the phone. We'll get him back on the phone. Let me get him back on the phone. Hold on a second here. Hold on. I'm not done here. Hold on. Get him back on the phone. Talk among yourselves.
All right. Well, I was unaware. Now that you brought this to my attention regarding Heather Mills.
Yes.
That there was some unhappiness. That this was not all well and good.
Hello.
With the.
Yeah, you still there?
Yeah. No, I didn't think you'd call back.
No, it was a mistake.
Yeah, it was an accident. So finish your story.
Yeah, finish the story.
Well, I don't know where I left off.
You were saying that Parviz was saying that...
Oh, you guys were doing the James Blunt.
Okay.
So what about Heather Mills? Now, she was not liked by the McCartney family. Is that what you're telling me?
Is that Senator Joe McCartney?
God was his co-pilot.
John's got like 15 more minutes of therapy right there. That's it.
What?
Nobody. 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 I don't even know. I can't do his voice.
Do you want to go out and come in again?
Hey, Parviz. Nobody loves me.
I feel terrible. We got to call him
all
back.
All right. One more time. Keep him on. Okay. Stella McCartney.
That's the daughter
of Paul McCartney.
Okay, now you're fucking with me.
No, finish the story, please. What happened, John? John.
Are you going to cut me off again?
Not me. It's not me. I'm nowhere near the control panels.
Okay, you were talking about James Blunt. Hello?
Yes.
And I had just seen him the night before with my girlfriend.
Okay.
And I just thought it was funny because Robin said, here's this song, and he's like, how come you haven't heard it? And you said, how am I supposed to know about somebody here on the show?
We're back on the other side. Stick around.
Schnauzer Logic.
With you at the diner, working from 9 until 7, and me working nights at the factory and quitting at dawn. It's lucky for me to be home when you leave in the morning. I try to be early, but most days you're already gone. So I crawl into bed, I can smell your perfume. I can still feel the warmth where you lay. And it kills me inside to be living our lives this way. Like the moon chasing the sun, somehow we've become intimate strangers. And as the stars fade in the lights, we both know that it ain't right. Alone every night, like intimate strangers. You'll be home by now, reading the note that I left you. But darling, I love you was all I could think of to say. Because I miss you much more than 4 words can explain. And I don't really know what to do when the weight of the world comes between me and you. Like the moon chasing the sun, somehow we've become intimate strangers. And as the stars fade in the light, we both know that it ain't right to be alone every night like intimate strangers. Why don't you quit at the diner? We can make it on just my pay. I'd rather give it a try and barely get by than keep living life this way. Like the moon chasing the sun, somehow we've become intimate strangers. And as the stars fade in the light, we both know that it ain't right alone every night like intimate strangers. We'd be alone every night like intimate strangers.
We feel that in every way this new radio series offers an unusual opportunity to combine broad popular appeal with truly distinguished radio treatment.
Oh, and this one time, at band camp, I stuck a flute in my pussy.
Frisco!
Hello?
This is Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. Sorry about that. Welcome back. Welcome back.
Mommy?
Yeah, that wasn't the trans voice.
No.
That wasn't the I can't identify.
Am I precious?
That was John sucking on helium.
Welcome back. We're 8 minutes into the second hour of Schnauzer Logic, the podcast. Robin Goldstein, host, buddy, and pal. Also a straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman pad attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning. Sean Meehan is right across the table from me, son of Vista.
Son of Vista.
Parviz Vitali is right across the table from me as well. Son of Vista to you,
son
too.
Of Vista.
Son of Vista.
Son of Vista.
Yeah. I feel badly. I feel badly that I hung up on John.
Three times?
No, I didn't hang up on the third time.
Oh, okay.
I just faded him down slowly. That was very artistic.
That was very nice.
That was a very artistic kind of thing. I kind of pulled him down a little bit and then pulled up the music. And so we were trading one leitmotif for another.
Do you know what John's special announcement is?
Well, we can't ace John on the special announcement.
He's with child.
Is it Paul McCartney's?
It's Paul McCartney's baby.
Oh, Paul McCartney had a baby. Now the baby's father and motherless.
No, I don't think that's even close to being true.
Visiting rights. Every other weekend, they won't have their mom and dad.
You understand that separation does not mean mutual gunplay.
Oh, it's going to be mutual gunplay.
Separation is not the same as murder-suicide.
It's
I'd like
gonna
to see
be.
Your prenup.
It's going to be. It's going to be.
Do you have a prenup?
I don't want to talk about it.
That would be yes.
Do you know how much money I have?
No.
I can't afford a prenup.
Is that right? No prenup? You have a prenup?
No.
All right.
No, I begged her not to. Please don't make me sign this. And she didn't. Eventually, she capitulated.
All right. Well, it's time for that thing that we do that is entertaining to the audience. Here we go.
At least to one person.
No, one person's father.
Hanson.
No, it isn't. It's Rockapella. You're thinking of Hanson.
I think it's Hanson.
No, did you say Hanson?
I said Hanson.
I thought you said Hanson like Jim Hanson.
Or like the soda.
Yeah. What?
The soda. Hanson soda.
It's Hanson.
Oh.
The Bald Jewish guy in the 1988 VW van.
You gotta add bat and knife to that. Bald Jewish guy in the 1988 van with the bat and the knife.
Oh yeah.
Where in the world is the Bald Jewish guy in the 1988 VW van? Where in the world is the Bald Jewish guy in the
1988
VW van?
Let's punch down the button. Pull up his slider and say, son of Easter to Jason Nathanson.
Son of Easter, Robin, from beautiful Mesquite, Nevada, where the days are hot and the nights are even hotter.
Did you get laid?
It's a bald Jewish guy in the 1988 VW van, dude. It's a. So how are you, my friend? It's great to hear from you.
I'm good. I'm hot, but I'm good.
How hot is it?
It says on my digital readout on my thermometer in my car, 111 degrees outside.
Oh, jeez. But it's a dry heat.
It's a dry heat. Yeah, so's fire.
He's in fine form today.
Now, listen, since we spoke to you a week ago, you were just outside of Seattle. You just had a fake fish thrown at you.
Yes.
So what have you had thrown at you in the last 7 days?
Bugs, lots of bugs.
How far have you gone?
I've gone probably another at least 1,000 miles.
All right.
Cut from Seattle through Idaho into Montana, down from Montana back into Idaho again, then into Utah, and now into Nevada.
Very nice.
You can run, but you cannot hide.
Yes.
Now you had some car trouble along the way as well.
I did. There was a sound, and the sound went away, and I'm thought
that's either
that's
good
great.
Or bad.
And then the sound came back.
Wasn't that the title of a Moody Blues album? Drink deep. Yeah, you guys are too young. Sorry.
No, drink deep. The gathering gloom.
Car repair. $225 later, I was back on the road.
Well, that's outstanding. So I got to tell you, I myself blew my radiator this week, and I'm out $750.
How much did your radiator charge you for that?
Oh man, it just keeps billing me. But you went to Idaho twice.
Did you get a handjob too?
From the radiator? I don't know. Who is the radiator? I'm curious about one thing here. You keep deflecting me. Now, why Idaho twice? Was there a draw? Did Idaho have a particular, was it a certain thing that pulled you back?
Well, Idaho is beautiful country. I thought it was all potatoes before now, but it is some beautiful country. But when you go from Spokane, it's kind of the northern neck of Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
And you go across that into Montana, and then you make a hard right and go down through Montana, and then you're back into Idaho if you're going south.
So it was really just the happenstance of the roadways that took you back through Idaho.
It wasn't anything that Idaho drew me in twice.
Did you have any Yukon Gold spuds?
You know, I didn't have a potato at all. And I feel kind of bad about that. But on my way back, I'll have a potato just for you. Yukon Gold, you say?
I hear those are excellent.
So the van was repaired. And,
yes.
And you made your way through. Tell us something exciting that you've done this week that you didn't expect to do.
Two things. I went to Salt Lake City, and I went to the Mormon church there.
Quite it's a big cathedral?
Interesting experience. Because you first of all, I got there on a Sunday, which the whole town was dead. There was nobody out. And it was Mother's Day, too, so that probably contributed to it. And I went to the church, and you walk in, and immediately all the Mormons, they're on you. They're asking you questions, you know, they're asking if they can give you any advice or tell you things about the temple, and, you know, I just wanted to kind of walk around.
It's like a scene out of Children of the Corn.
Yeah, like cockroaches. They're just Mormons all over you. So
now, I've heard them compared to Africanized bees, but I've never heard them compared to cockroaches.
Well, that's the thing you get on the Schnauzer Logic program.
Well, you know, I went to your page. I'm going to interrupt you again because one of us has to. But I went to the page, and you said that there was nobody around, and yet you said when you went to the church, you were swarmed upon. So were they hiding? I'm trying to get a mental
like cockroaches. They only come out.
No, I'm trying to get a mental image. I mean, so you say the streets of.
I go into Seattle on I-15 and
Salt Lake
down
City.
Into the city.
Salt Lake.
And you see, in Salt Lake. And you see the whole town, and the streets were just empty. There were no cars anywhere. There were no people walking around. I drove downtown to where the Temple Square is, and it was just empty. I mean, you could park on the streets, which, you know, in most cities on a weekend, especially around shopping districts and stuff, you can't just park anywhere and go in. But around the temple, it was pretty empty. But all the Mormons were there. I don't know if they don't drive or what it was, but they were all there. And they were all female. All the people giving the tours, for some reason, are female, young females on their mission. I don't know if you know what the mission is, but, you know, for 2 years they go and do missionary work and try to convert people to Mormonism.
So now you're on the site of the church, and a woman comes over to you, young woman, young attractive woman?
I don't know if I'd say attractive. Young, yes.
Okay.
But not the most attractive woman. And they want to take you on this tour. So I say, okay, I want to see the tour. I want to learn about the history of the temple. And they take you on the tour, but instead of giving you the history, they're just telling you how great Jesus is and how great the Mormon Church is.
No argument here.
I just wanted facts. I didn't want to be proselytized to.
Yeah, once again, we've hit a cul-de-sac.
Okay.
So basically, the...
Are you saying Jesus is just not all right with you?
You know, I don't really have much of a problem with Jesus himself. It's the whole organized religion surrounding Jesus.
So tell us more.
You would be all right with Jesus if he can fix your van without paying a dime.
That would make me okay with Jesus, yeah.
Also, Jesus is not paying a lot for this muffler.
If Jesus was a mechanic.
So we've pretty much decided that the temple is not a babe magnet.
And that's the thing. There were some cute Mormon chicks, and I tried to get on their tour. But for some reason, I couldn't get, they didn't come over to me and invite me on their tour.
Well, did you tell them that you could be their mission? If they chose to accept it.
I should have. I should have had some Mormon pickup lines ready to
go.
Yeah,
look at this. Mission probable.
So how long mission accomplished. How long were you in? Well, your webpage, you go on and on and on about this whole thing. I'm trying to give you an opportunity here to tell us some good stories. Like, yeah, well, all they want to do is convert me to Jesus.
Here's the thing. I write it all on the webpage, and then I feel like I'm repeating myself. And I don't want to repeat myself.
You're right. We don't need to do this every week. I'll just read your blog to the audience. Here we go.
I don't know exactly what to do.
SLC 900-foot Jesus. Bryce Valley, Utah. People served over 99 billion. Around 12 p.m. on Sunday, I pulled into Salt Lake City, and it was dead. I know SLC is full of pretty religious people, and so Sunday might not be the best day to visit, but the place looked like Hiroshima after the day after, minus the destruction. No cars in the roads, no people walking around, just eerie silence that you don't expect from a big city. I found the Mormon temple quite early. Parked, this is, I mean, my friend, this is Charles Kuralt. I mean, there's a level
of... So I go into the church, and they're giving me the tour, and all they're doing is trying to convert me over to Jesus, or their version of it. And I just wasn't having any of it. And when I get in situations like that, my first instinct is to kind of get combative, you know, start to try to debate and, you know, question their beliefs and stuff like that.
You're a feisty little guy.
What was that?
You're a feisty little guy.
Religion is one of the things that get me feisty. I felt like I was on their home turf, and I didn't want to be disrespectful in their, you know, temple area. So, you know, I started to question a couple of things they said that didn't seem right to me. Like one of the girls said that there was, there was Jesus, and he was God's representative on earth. And then there was no representative of God on earth until Joseph Smith. And I thought, well, where the fuck was God for the 1,800 years between Joseph Smith and Jesus? He just wasn't interested. He didn't want to talk to people. You know, what was he doing? And so she starts to give me some babble back, and it didn't really make sense to me. So I kind of dropped it. And then we go into this kind of big hall thing that looked kind of Disneyland-esque. There were little, like, what do they call them in school? Like dioramas? People and stuff like that. And there were dioramas depicting, like, Jesus and when he came to America. Jesus apparently came to America in 333 A.D. Yes. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Yes, he ministered to the Indians.
And he talks to this Indian guy named Mormon and his son Moroni. And he tells them where all the scriptures are, and they find the scriptures, and that's how they started. So all these are set up, and you walk through from one to one with these pre-recorded voices telling you what's going on, and it's very much like Disneyland, and you're like, where the hell am I? I'm in a Mormon church. And then they take you upstairs, and there's this huge statue of Jesus, like, I don't know, 15, 16 feet tall, and it's all white, and it's lit, and there's a painting of the stars and the moon behind it. And this voice comes on, and they say, the guides tell you, please open your heart to Jesus and let his words sink in. And then the voice reads some scripture from the Bible. And it was weird. It was like a cult. It was like, Tom Cruise was leading me around a Scientology building.
That's unfortunate. But you realize it's good you didn't argue because, A, they had home temple advantage, and they had... They had a giant audio visual animatronic display, and how are you going to combat that with your puny logic? Yeah.
If they really wanted to convert me, if they really wanted me to be open, less of the proselytizing and more of the just telling me information about the church and things like that and facts, and let me come to the decision myself. They were beating me over the head with Mormonism.
And more of the hot chicks.
Yeah, and more hot chicks. Seriously, if you're going to get 19-year-olds on a mission, make them hot.
But didn't you, wasn't that your expectation when you went there? I mean, you understand the Mormon religion, Church of Latter-day Saints, is really about bringing people into the church.
Kind of, but when I go to this temple site and, you know, they're giving you tours and most of the places I've been have been, you know, national parks and things like that. I was expecting like a national park tour where they tell me the history of the Big Rock and the trees.
Right, this is where John Smith laid the cornerstone.
Big Rock and trees.
I see. But this is a very important site for them, obviously.
It is, and it's a very holy site. And the second, though, they start telling me about, you know, open your heart to Jesus in our church, and you really need to read this book, and Jesus fills me up, and that doesn't inspire me.
It would be like if you brought me to the place where you lost your virginity, and I said, well, just give me the facts. I mean, I know that we're doing time travel into the future, but I mean, just for. But just give me the...
I would give you the facts, though. I wouldn't tell you, you know, describe to you how my penis was feeling at the time and how great it was and things like that.
Then you're not a good storyteller. I want the details.
I'd give you a descriptive version of the facts. I wouldn't try to convert you to my loss of virginity.
Well, you know, I'd like the tour better if they showed where John Smith lost his virginity. Because that would be fabulous. That's
actually
the kind of tour I'd go on.
Joseph Smith.
Joseph Smith, excuse me.
John Smith was. About it, please get it right.
John Smith was Pocahontas.
Yeah.
Right?
So that's actually correct. you are right. Sorry, so Joseph Smith. So if I'm going to ridicule them in jest,
yes,
I really should get the guy's name right.
Agent Smith was the Matrix.
Agent Smith was, but Hugo Weaving.
Right, but the Matrix is really all we need to know.
Is that all? Okay.
So did you?
Mr. and Mrs. Smith was Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt.
Exactly.
And Pocahontas turned into a porno called Poca Hooker. Seriously.
Oh, you're back.
Seriously.
We didn't see you come in.
Seriously.
Somebody woke up Grandpa from his nap.
So when I left the site and I tried to be open to the religion, I tried to kind of hear what they're saying. And I said, okay, if I'm part of this journey is, I guess, my spiritual quest or whatever. If right now is the time when I'm at this very holy site for the Mormon church, if this is what God wants me to do, send me a sign of some sort,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'll believe. I will.
Sure.
You know, if this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
I've been there myself.
Right,
I know what
now.
You mean.
What was that?
Well, part of that was me talking, and part of that was Parvee sniffing. So which part did you understand?
Whichever one was better.
Yeah.
I didn't understand either one.
What I said was I've been there. I've been in that situation where somebody who's a true believer, and you think, God, I really do want to get it. I want to feel what you're feeling.
See, you should have gone for the sniffing.
I wanted to know if this was just something that these people were reciting, you know, because they're young, they're impressionable, and they looked like they've been indoctrinated. So I wanted to know if this was just something that they were reciting because they were told this is the way it is, or if there was something they were really feeling. And part of me wanted to feel it because I've never felt religion like that,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know that I need to either. But all these people who profess to be so religious and so happy with, and filled up with their God. That sounds great. Sure. Why not? So, you know, but I didn't get any signs.
Maybe your van breaking down was a sign.
But that was before Salt Lake City.
Causation
well, somebody,
is...
Somebody fixed it for you to get to Salt Lake City.
Right.
Right, which I paid. I didn't need Jesus or God to do any of that. I did it myself. All right, I got the guy Herb to do it.
Well, I think...
Herb is a spice in the spice of life. Jesus.
I think you should have tithed anyways. I think you should have tithed.
So how long did you stay in Salt Lake City?
I was there for a day. And
a day on your spiritual quest or whatever.
And he nails exactly. me on Joseph Smith.
Yeah.
And he's on his spiritual quest or whatever.
Or whatever.
And can I nail you on indoctrinated?
Yeah.
Do I get that one?
Yeah.
No.
Did I use that wrong?
It's okay.
I'm a writer. I'm not a speaker.
So where to next?
Well, from there I went to Arches National Park in Utah, which was amazing, mind blowing. Absolutely, I recommend that everybody, if they ever have a chance to get there, Arches National Park in southeastern Utah is just amazing. Rock formations and red, deep red colors and things like that. Best thing I've seen probably so far, as natural landscape. And something new, because up in the Pacific Northwest, it's great with the ocean and the woods and the mountains and things like that, but that's all stuff we also have in California. This was something I've never seen before in my life, so I highly recommend Arches National Park.
What's the other thing? I mean, you've had lots of large cats. You've been bobcats and tigers, and what's this whole feline subtext to this whole trip that we've seen so far?
I don't know if there's really a subtext. It's just more of a... what's kind of happening? Maybe I attract cats, or cats are attracted to me. Maybe I should get a book that says, you know, what cats represent.
All right. Great. Okay, cool. So,
now I'm in Mesquite. I left Utah today, drove through southern western Utah into a little bit of Arizona in Nevada, and it's hot. It's just ridiculously hot.
Mm-hmm.
And the van doesn't really have air conditioning.
Mm.
So I don't know who decided to do this trip in the summer, but I should have some words with them.
No, I'm curious. So, doesn't really have air conditioning? Does that mean that you have an air conditioner that is substandard, or you just don't have any air conditioning?
Yeah, well, the air conditioning, if you've seen the pictures on the site, randomshow.blogspot.com, the air conditioning vents are in the back of the van, so they have to blow all the way to the front, and they don't really, and that, you know, that's quite a big distance, and they don't really work all that well.
Oh, the furniture stays nice and cool.
Yeah, exactly. The baby changing table,
nice
no
and
problem.
Cool.
That's nice and cool. So I'm, you know, I'm driving with the windows open, which is basically like having a furnace blast you the whole way. So I pulled over here. Once I got into Nevada, I pulled over into the first casino that I saw to go inside and just kind of sit for 6 hours. And I thought maybe I'd go see a movie because they have a movie theater here. Maybe I was wondering if I could get your suggestions on what I should see between Hoot, RV, Sentinel, which I don't even know what that is, or United 93.
Well, United, is there a video store available?
Yeah, really.
All right. Mystery solved.
So next week, where do you expect to be a week from today?
A week from today, I will probably be in Texas.
Wow. All right, dude.
We're just going to continue to get cooler and cooler.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, and tomorrow morning people can hear you on KSCO?
Yes, 6:45 a.m.
6:45 in the morning.
Or, with my great friend Robin Goldstein there, you can just go to, he's been saving the segments and sending them over to me. So I'll post that on my blog as well.
All so right. 6:45 on Thursday morning.
Yes.
Pacific time.
KSCO.
Correct.
All right, dude. Well, go back into the casino and have some fun.
Thank you.
All right. We love you. Take care. Drive
buddy.
Safely.
Drive safely, Jason.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Talk to you guys later.
Bye.
You want to... What do you mean, what?
Do I want to what? He's nodding off. I think he's nodding off.
The whole
off.
Show. The whole show.
What are you talking about? It's been a high-energy show from the get-go. It's pooping
from
him out.
From the get-go. It's been a high-energy show from the get-go.
He's pooped.
We all heard you. You sighed.
Come on.
It was a stage sigh. It was like... It wasn't just letting breath out. I mean, I'm going to go... Listen, you know for sure I'm going to go find it, and I'm going to isolate it, and I'm going to put it up on the site, www.schnauzerlogic.com. I mean, it wasn't just an exhalation. It wasn't just like... It was pain involved.
I was in my own world. I had no idea I had people around me.
Did you have a tough day?
No, this is
now.
What I'm talking about. It's been nothing but funny today.
All right. Got a little Lonesome Road Blues here. Oh, dude, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back on the other side. You're going to fill us in on your plumbing? All right. You're listening to Schnauzer Logic with Robin Goldstein, Sean Meehan, who's like with us 50-50% at this point, and Parviz Vitali, who's who's almost comatose. All right. Stick around.
It sounds like John.
This old road is lonesome. Well, you got to travel it all alone. When all you have, little boy, she's dead and gone.
I think you're a refreshing gay boy.
Schnauzer Logic.
I live that peaceful life in a beautiful land, but everything's disappeared like a trace on the sand. Then you come to me, and you take me home. Maybe you take all of me. Now there's nothing at all. I'm in your head. Piece of love. Gotta get out of here and never come back. Gotta get out of here, but you're keeping me packed. And I still want you, but you take it all. Stupid love. I'm in your head. I'm in your mouth. Like a piece of cake. Like a piece of love. Of love. I'm in your head. I'm in your mouth. Like a piece of cake. Like a piece of love. Like a piece of love. Like a piece of love.
Stories.
Crack me up.
Oh, yeah.
They're funny.
Keeps me entertained.
Funny, funny comedy.
Those tree-hugging sissies.
And now your host, Brian Cox.
Everybody, welcome to Road Stories. I'm Brian Cox. You know, life on the road as a comic, the comic that's trying to reach that brass ring, is a bit different from those who have reached the brass ring. I'm talking about the guys who play TV shows like Letterman and Leno, and they play Vegas and comedy clubs. Now, when you're starting out, what do? You play bars and town halls. Now, a comedy show in a town hall is considered a really good gig because it's like a comedy club. Now, You never know what kind of bar or bar owner you're going to be faced with each night. Well, a crappy hotel, that's a given. Yeah, if you have a bathroom in your room, that's a good hotel. If you ask for a key to your hotel room and they hand you a butter knife, that's a bad hotel. Okay, so we're on the road with my buddy Clark. We pull into a town, go in the bar. The bar owner says to us right off the top, "Hey, you guys better be funny. This is my first night of doing comedy." Clark asked if they had a stage for us. The guy said, "Yeah, over there." He had thrown in a piece of plywood on top of a pool table. Yeah, the light was about 4 feet above that. He said, "There's your stage." So we're talking to each other. We're going, "Well, what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to do the show on our knees?" Anyway, showtime rolled around. There we were, on our knees. We did the show. The bar owner kind of got the idea. Halfway through the show, he got up. He hiked the light up so we could actually stand up. Through any kind of mountains and you see some rocks, why don't you pick some up for me? And I thought, well, okay, not bad. So as it happened, we were driving through the mountains. We came across this huge rock slide area. Back in the late 1800s, half of this mountain came down and covered this town. Like, it obliterated this town that was there. Clark was sitting beside me, token on a big fat one, if you know what I mean. He said, "Hey man, maybe we should stop and take a look around." And I thought, well, you know, that's not a bad idea. I can pick up some rocks from my buddy's fish tank. So as I start collecting some nice rocks, and Clark is out on the rock slide about 800 yards away. Now, as I'm collecting, the cops drive up. They come over and ask me what the hell I'm doing. I explain all about my friend's fish tank. Well, that's really going over well with them. Just then, Clark, in all of his stone glory, walks up just as the cops are telling me that this town was covered and it's now a memorial site. Put the rocks back. Clark pipes up, "Hey, you guys, man, if you let everyone that drives by take a rock, you'd find your town again, man." The cops told us to leave. We found out at that moment that stone and rocks don't go together. That's it for Road Stories. Thanks for listening.
More fun than flushing the toilet while your spouse is in the shower.
Ah! Oh, sorry.
Schnauzer Logic.
Who wants to wake him up? Who wants to bring him around?
I have nothing to say.
Welcome back. We're 43 minutes into the second hour of Schnauzer Logic. I know it feels like...
Second hour?
You understand this is voluntary. Your participation in here is not like some kind of court-ordered community service. It's not like there's this whole long list of people that I take through here and the state pays me $50 a month. You're not my foster host. Are you okay?
What do you mean am I okay? I'm fine. What, because I happen to like...
Well, were we talking about playing Roadshow this week and you said, "It's a short one"?
Why do you do this
deny
to me?
Deny it.
No, I asked how long.
No, you didn't. You didn't ask how long it was. You said, "It's a short one." It's a short one.
And then what?
Well, I'm concerned about whether maybe you're not getting enough sleep. Maybe you're like a new parent. It's possible that you're like a new parent. Isn't that possible?
No, I don't understand. I thought the show was going very well. I thought the show's going fabulous. We had some really good segments.
Yeah.
And nothing. I just happened to...
You just happened to nod off.
Yeah. I mean...
You're right. It happens. Let's see. Who last famous person happened? Oh, Dick Cheney. We have photographs of him nodding off. I'm thinking it's because you're overworking at your new gig, and we're going to talk about it right now.
When the ice comes and the snow...
and it's 48 below. And then the temperature begins to fall. And they hear the moan and whine of the frozen water line. Then the plumber is the man who saves them all. Oh, the plumber is the man, the plumber is the man. Down into the cellar he must crawl, he must crawl. He is not sleek or slim, and they all look down on him. But the plumber is the man who saves them all.
The airwaves are yours, my friend. Yours, my friend.
All right, another therapeutic session.
Yeah.
This was a decent week.
Excellent.
Yes, but I got into a little verbal argument / fight with one of my leaders yesterday.
Okay.
This gentleman was the same guy who was part of that whole firing whatever a few weeks back. And I've been working under him for the past couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And he just pushed me to the point where we just kind of got into it. And we did, and we got into a little verbal match outside the premises. And you know, I mean, after all it's said and done, and I even told him straight up, I said, listen, I will never beat you in any kind of argument because you've been here for 15 years, and I just started here a month ago. So you've got plenty of backing, and nobody knows me here, so there's no way I'm going to win. So, you know, you can beat me down as much as you want, and I won't fight you, you know? I called him an egomaniac, and I called him...
What happened? I mean, give us...
For example, I was doing a job that he told me to do.
All right.
And he said I was doing it wrong, and I said, okay, well, then show me the right way of doing it. And then he showed me the right way of doing it, and then he questioned my my reasoning as to why I did it this way, and I gave him an explanation why I'm doing it this way, because it looks safer to me than to doing it this way.
Okay.
And then he said, come here. And then, you know, he pulls me aside, and he says... I don't know what's going on and why you're trying to, you know, like, I don't know, think. Why are you trying to think? I don't know what he was getting at, right?
Yeah.
So I just sat there and I listened to him, and then I kind of gave him a couple jabs back. And I said, listen, you know, you have an ego and you're going through a lot of stress right now. And I said, I understand that. But I said, you know, I know nothing and you know everything.
Wait, what the fuck?
What?
You said you have an ego?
I did. He has a big ego.
Holy
shit. He has a big ego.
And you've got gazongas on you, boy.
But it's, you know what? It doesn't matter what I say at this point. If I was to tell him you have an ego, if I say you're an asshole, if I say thank you very much, if he doesn't like me, he'll get rid of me one way or another.
Yeah, but I'm guessing that there's a couple of things you could say that will make him not like you faster.
No. Because, you know, I've seen the way this guy works, and it's like I'm to the point not right now with this guy, and a lot of people don't like this guy, that I'm not going to get sucked in and be one of his punching bags. And so I'll stand up for myself, and I'll stick up for what I believe is right. And the funny thing is, we had a little, you know, little piff or whatever. This was before lunch. After lunch, he comes up to me, and he was like bipolar. All of a sudden, he's got his arm around me. He's, how you doing there, buddy? How's it going? Any questions? Everything all right?
Wow.
And I'm like, everything's fine. And he could just tell I was just very cold to him. Then he goes, come here, I want to talk to you outside. And then when he talked to me outside for the second time... Yeah, he was pretty much like, listen, if I go too far, just let me know. I go, I am trying to let you know. And you don't seem to appreciate that. And he totally like changed his whole mood around me. So maybe he thought I was going to go to the manager and say something. I don't know what he thought. But I told him straight up. I said, listen.
Fly a plane into his house.
Like your people do. Wow.
What? A little plane.
Wow.
Wouldn't ruin a jetliner on it.
No.
It wouldn't be necessary. Like a little.
What if I had like a remote control airplane? Yeah. Right inside of his house.
I just like that. Sometimes I go too far, but I just love plumbing so damn much.
Just like,
so overall, it was a good week. Nobody got fired under my watch. Nobody got. I didn't piss anybody off. I didn't break any equipment, but I did get into it with this guy, and I feel good. I feel like. I feel like I stood up for all the plumbers that don't know anything.
You are their champion.
And
no,
so, you
nothing,
know,
Sam.
Listen, there's a higher boss, not this guy I'm talking about. There's a higher boss who actually likes me a lot.
Jesus.
Right.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Jason just visited with
right,
him.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So he likes me a lot.
Master plumber.
Right, master plumber.
What? Now that's a good question. Why do
snatch this pipe from my hand, young grasshopper?
Why do the Masons get to have their secret organization, you know, with the master architect?
Right.
But what do the plumbers got? You need to start the secret, you know, that secret cabal of... The plumbers don't have a group.
That's true.
You need to create that secret plumbers group.
So what did you learn how to do this week that you didn't know how to do last week?
This week, I was learning how to put together copper piping for... We make what we did so far this week. We made copper piping racks that will be hundreds of feet long, and we'd make sections at a time. And you have to connect, brace, solder, and measure, and all this goofy stuff. And they put all this together on racks, and then you ship out these racks to their biotech labs or wherever they're going to.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm learning how to read, like I'm learning how to read papers. What are they called? Like blueprints.
Blueprints.
Yeah, I'm learning how to read. To understand the measurements, to understand this. So I guess I'm learning how to put together these pipings, which is interesting because it's so precise. I'm learning now that everything is so precise. I mean, when they say 1/16th, they mean by 1/16th. You know, you can't go up and over or under. It's got to be exact because what I'm doing, I'm taking it to another person who's going to connect their pieces. And if I'm off or they're off, everything just gets shifted
right
a quarter of an inch down the line and it screws everything up.
All right.
So it's very, I check and I recheck and I double check everything.
Yeah.
So I'm having a good time. So far, so good.
What is it that they say, carpenters, right? Was measure twice, cut once or something like that? Isn't that the, no, I mean, you're looking at me like I'm.
No, it's true. That's what they
maybe
say.
Maybe I'm thinking of Moyle.
No, that's exactly what they tell carpenters. But I didn't think plumbers had any such instructions.
Is that right?
I think it's measure once, bill twice.
You said bill twice?
Bill twice.
Very nice. So next week, so we need to talk about this.
Yes.
So we got a an email from one of the members of the union of in Southern California.
Okay.
And he's willing to be on the show next week.
Okay.
Are you up for this? Or are you?
You know what? I am.
You're a little hesitant, or
I was a little hesitant because
where'd your hesitation come from?
Because I learned that where I work, there's this supposed like brotherhood, and like if these people that I work with have been there 20 to 30 years.
I see.
So they have traveled as well.
They've like Opus Dei.
Correct. And they have worked in...
And wasn't that the house band in Animal House, by the way? I thought that was Opus Dei and the Knights. I'm very confused about this whole thing. They keep talking about Opus Dei is angry about the
movie. Hanks thing.
The Da Vinci Code.
Code.
I remember Opus Dei. He was a nice guy. Do you want to dance? You know, I mean, I don't understand where this is coming from. What happened to
Doc
him?
Doc on the Bay.
What happened to Otis?
I believe you made cookies.
It's Amos.
Thank you, Sean. No, it's Otis Spunkmeyer.
Spunkmeyer?
Yeah.
Spunkmeyer.
So, back to my concerns.
Spunk?
This gentleman that we're going to talk to.
Spunk.
I would love to hear his side. I would love to hear. I would love to tell him what's going on with my,
Spunkmeyer,
you know.
Spunkmeyer's a Jewish name.
I would love to tell him what's going on with my job and what's sure going on. See if it's normal. And what I hope doesn't happen
made matzah.
Is I hope it doesn't get back to anybody and saying like, you know, because I don't believe I don't think I've talked crap about anybody. I don't believe I have. Mm-hmm. But I believe I'm standing up for the little chubby plumber guys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But anyways, let's do it. Let's stick our hand in this fire and let's put our hand where the pipe fits.
All right. Well, there you go. So next week we'll be talking with the fellow from the Plumbers Union.
Yeah, let's give it a shot. I'd love to hear an outside view as to what's going on.
I'm loving it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then who knows, by next week?
My dog is a plumber. He must be a boy. Although I must tell you, his favorite toy is a little play stove with pan.
Wasn't he just boring as an interviewer?
We're running out of time. You can finish your story.
Oh, now you're going to cut me off.
Dude, I just said,
all right,
I stopped this thing.
All I have to say is next week I'm excited to see what story I might have and to talk to this gentleman.
That's all you have to say?
That's all I have to say. Apparently, I brought the show down.
And with pots, which he really must like because he plays with it lots.
I think Cavett's worse.
So perhaps he's a girl, which kind of makes sense, since he can't throw a ball and he can't climb a fence, but neither can Dad. And I know he's a man.
Oh, no.
And Mom is a woman, and she drives a van.
This is a tough day.
Maybe
how is it a tough day? Why do you bring Dick
to
into this?
Just what someone is by what he does well.
I just don't understand. You should have like Gallagher on there or something.
All right, take a cup.
Oh yeah,
asshole.
oh my goodness. Gosh,
we're working blue.
What's going on? What's this all about?
Today this is a very special day.
Today is a 1 year anniversary. Exactly 1 year ago today, I was having my head sliced open at UCSF and having my brain removed.
Oh,
it's 1 year anniversary of my brain surgery.
Oh shit!
Hard to believe. So we're gonna have a little toast here. We have a little bit of Glenrothes. Let's pour a little bit here. I think you're just a little bit.
Just a thimbleful.
Just a thimbleful.
Is
here.
Is this against the law or something?
If we were in a broadcast studio, this would be against the law.
Might be, yeah.
But here, on the World Wide Web,
I can give you more. I just poured a little bit in there. I don't know if you're a single malt kind of person.
Oh, this tastes good.
Yeah?
I licked the side of the cup, by the way. This is good shit.
I don't care what you do in the gymnasium after you're finished working out.
God bless you, Robin. God bless you.
There you go. God bless you guys. All right. My friends.
Oh.
Why don't we do this every show?
Isn't next week the anniversary of some major medical trauma?
It is now in my life. It is, yeah.
We should take 3 or 4 shots right before we go on air.
Dude, I'm happy to liquor you up if you think it'll make you better.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Yeah, fucking A, it's good stuff.
Shit. How long have you had it?
Glenrothes?
Yeah.
I don't know.
How old's that bottle?
Oh, maybe a year.
Oh, okay.
Maybe a year.
Oh, man.
That is
see,
wonderful.
That's clearing up my sinuses right there.
Yeah.
This Bulk is will a, be gone.
This is a Speyside malt. It's called Glenrothes, Glenrothes. This is a 1989 bottle.
Glengarry Glenrothes.
And it's peaty.
I get nothing for that.
It's not very peaty. It's not as peaty as the Lowland malts. Not like
Ooh,
the
that's good stuff.
Like a Glenfiddich or a
Lafroig. It's not like a Lafroig. Yeah. No.
What do you remember from your surgery?
I remember.
What's the first thing you thought of when you got out of the surgery?
When I got out of the surgery?
Yeah, when you woke up from your surgery.
I'm still alive.
Shit.
Yeah, I'm still alive.
Did you think about things to make sure you didn't forget anything?
No.
No.
No. I was just, my head hurt, as you might imagine. Everything was kind of light and bright and whatever it was.
1 year later, how you doing?
No
headaches? You did have a headache though right now. Was it my talking or?
No, I don't have a headache. This week, I was going to talk about
temples.
It. We're out of time.
Oh.
We're out of time. We're unfortunately run out of time. I'm not doing that to fuck with you. We're out of time.
We only had 2 segments the whole show. How could we be running out of time?
I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, these podcasts has got to be at least 4 hours long.
Well, sometimes they feel that way.
All right. Well, we'll see you here next week, yeah?
I love you, Robin.
I love you, too. See you here next week?
I'm not sure.
Oh, is that right?
Because my medical stuff is coming up next week, so... But I'm definitely going to try.
All right. Well, we'll see what we can do about that. Until then, the creek don't rise. The good Lord's willing, there ain't no meltdown. We'll be back next week. Until then, I love you, Ma. I miss your dad. Show up. Pay attention. Tell the truth. And don't be attached to the outcome. www.schnauzerlodge.com. Robin at schnauzerlodge.com. We want to thank the folks over at Tranny Talk for the nice review.
Thank you.
That was very, very nice. And have a great week. We'll see you next week. Maybe next week Barry will have hit his... Babe Run tying homer.
Maybe.
That could be exciting.
Maybe even the breaker.
There you go. All right, take care. Have fun. Bye-bye.
It's over now, and you just got to deal with it.
I want you to know it's over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over!
It's over, Harvey. I'm sorry. I need to get on with my life.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.